All right, guys, so tonight I'd like to spend some time talking to you just about something that I've certainly been thinking about a while, and I really hope it's a blessing to you guys. So just to start out tonight, New Year's Eve is really a special night for me. It's not necessarily because it's a new year or anything like that. It's just, that I have all these New Year's resolutions that I'll keep for a week or two and then scrap, you know. But it's because that someone changed my life 4 years ago on this very night. He changed my life and is still continuing to change my life. And in case you're wondering, his name is Jesus Christ. And it's one of those things where if you would have asked me 5 years ago that I was going to be standing up here preaching, I don't know what I would have said to you. I probably would have laughed. But I'm just so thankful to be up here and to have the opportunity. So I grew up without much knowledge about the Lord. But we went to church on and off enough that it was definitely something that I thought about from time to time. And that was just something I didn't really like take to heart, I would say, until much later in my life. I didn't really know what I was supposed to do or to study because nobody really showed me how to have a relationship with the Lord or how to study my Bible. And so the people that I did go to church with, and that I went to school with, it was like they would act kind of one way at school and one way at church. And for me, it was really hard to really, I guess, buy what they were selling because I didn't really see the consistency in their life and I didn't really see a difference. And so that really deterred me for a while. I used that as an excuse for a long time to really not seek the Lord until 4 years ago. God put a man in my life to teach me the Word of God, and at first I didn't really care for it initially. It took some time. I wanted truth. I just didn't know it at the time. It took some time for the Lord to really like show me that that's what I needed. But God knew, and He provided the people, the resources, and opportunities for me to understand that I was lost and directionless. And I was invited to come to Old Pass for the first time 4 years ago on New Year's Eve. And it's one of those things where I remember it like it was yesterday. I can tell you what I was wearing. I can tell you where I was sitting in our old building and walking downstairs. And, for me, I'd never been to a church like that where you walk downstairs and it was kind of like we converted it and it was an old building. But it was really interesting for me. So it was just a night of where the Lord just got a hold of me. And it was the moment where God like stopped me right in my tracks and my path and the way that I was going, and He wanted to get me to realize some things. And I was going in one direction in my life for so long, and now God had stopped the way that I was going, and He provided me a new and better way. And I was confronted with a question that really terrified me, and that was like, if I was to die right now, in this moment, do I know for sure that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord? And I couldn't answer yes to that question, and it really scared me. And I was thinking about that all night, and an opportunity presented itself where I could find out that I could know for sure. And it was that night 4 years ago that I trusted Jesus Christ to be my Lord and personal Savior. And so with that, I'd just like to begin talking about three things that I can do to evaluate where I'm at in my relationship with the Lord. And just to give you a little bit of background, I was talking to my wife, Sarah, just a few weeks ago about a conversation that she was having with her manager. And it had to do with what my wife's manager could do to be a better boss. And Sarah's manager asked her three things that she could do to become a better manager. And those three questions were, what things as a manager does she need to stop doing? And as a manager, what are some things that she needs to start doing? And then as a manager, what are some things that she needs to continue to do? And then I was just kind of thinking about that. And as she was explaining that to me, I began to ask myself those same questions and how I could use that to evaluate where I'm at with my walk with the Lord. So these are just the three questions that I ask myself, is what do I need to stop doing right now that is preventing me from being the person God wants me to be and doing what God wants me to do? What do I need to start doing to be who God wants me to be and do what God wants me to do? And then what do I need to continue to do to build a depth of God's word into my life and ensure that God's work will continue in my family if something should happen to me? So the first thing I want to talk to you about tonight and my evaluation process is that we have to stop and listen to what God is trying to show us and tell us in order for us to know how we can begin to make those changes. And we can see an example of how God stopped a man in his tracks to show him what he wanted him to do. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit tonight with an example with the Apostle Paul and how God used him in his life. And the first time we see Paul show up in the Bible is at the end of Acts 7, where he has just witnessed a man named Stephen getting murdered by the nation of Israel throwing stones at him. And I personally have never witnessed anything like that, but it's really interesting as you read through the Bible how this is something that God used to humble Paul and certainly used it in his life to help him and what he wanted him to do down the road. At the beginning of Acts chapter 8 and the beginning of Acts chapter 9, we see that Paul is severely persecuting God's people. He's arresting them and bringing them to Jerusalem. But however, as Paul nears Damascus, he has his first encounter with God Almighty himself. And so I'm going to read a passage here in Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. If you guys want to turn there, that's fine. I'm going to read it here. I just want you guys to know, so in this passage, you'll see the name Saul. Saul and Paul are the same person, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but I'm going to go ahead and read these verses here. Acts 9, verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So right here in this passage, we see that Paul was persecuting God's people, but he was stopped by the Lord because there were some things that the Lord wanted Paul to do, but he had to get him alone. And this is exactly what the Lord did with me. He stopped me on the path of my life that I was going. And like Paul, I was on my way living my life without the Lord, and suddenly God's light entered my world. And the night that I got saved and accepted Jesus as my Savior, there were many people at the church just like there are tonight. And as far as I was concerned, the Lord was aiming those words that were being preached that night right to me. I felt like I was the only one there. And that was something, God was trying to show me the error of my ways and that I needed to change some things. But I had to have the willingness to stop and just listen to what he wanted to tell me. And I say all that to say this, you know, maybe you're here tonight and you're walking down that same road that I was walking on, that Paul was walking on. And maybe it's just that God wants us to stop and listen to him and see what he wants us to do, to see what light that God is trying to show us. So one thing also is just, we just live in such a fast-paced society today. I mean, you can hop in your car, you can go and grab a hamburger at a drive-thru in, minutes. You can send a text to anybody anywhere in the world in, seconds. If you don't want to go out and get food, you can DoorDash it, have it delivered right to your door. So, and hey, I'm not knocking it. I think that's great. I think it's nice to have those things. But what I am saying is this, that everything is so convenient, and sometimes that's how, I don't know about you guys, but it's a convenient Christianity. It's, I'm not giving the Lord the time that he deserves. And, it's whenever it's convenient me, but never stopping to consider, what does God really want me to do? What's he trying to tell me? How can I be a blessing to someone else? In 1 Samuel 9:27, it says, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." And for me, I think that's exactly what God has definitely been trying to work on my heart, is just, I need to stand still and listen exactly what he wants me to do so he can direct me to be on the right path that I need to be on. So the second thing I'd like to talk to you about tonight, and just my evaluation process is really how can we start doing the things God wants us to do because we have first stopped to listen to what God says. So we can now begin to implement things that we read in the Bible, such as life principles, which will ultimately lead to bringing the Lord honor and glory. And as an example, I'll continue to be talking about Paul and just what God started to do in his life and what Paul started to do after God got a hold of him. In Acts 9:20, I'm just going to read some verses here, I'm going to paraphrase some verses. I'm just going to be looking at some highlights of what God started to do in Paul's life. In Acts 9:20, you guys can turn there if you want to, but Paul begins to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 9, verse 20. And if you guys remember just a few minutes ago, we were looking, and at the beginning of Acts 9, we saw that Paul was threatening the disciples of the Lord. He was persecuting God's people. But by the time you get to verse 17, Paul has accepted Christ as his Savior, and by the time you get to verse 20, he's preaching in the name of the Lord. So it didn't take Paul long to recognize what God wanted him to do, and he committed fully to the Lord and did what was asked of him. In Acts 9:23, the Jews were already conspiring to kill him. That's just a few verses later. So Paul's testimony and the stance for the Lord that he took are earning him a reputation and people don't like it. And I just want to say this to you. If you're living your life for the Lord and you're continuing to serve Jesus Christ, not everyone's going to like you. The devil is going to throw everything in your path to try to discourage you. But ultimately, it's how are we going to respond to that. In Acts 9:27 and verse 29, we see how that Paul didn't let people conspiring to kill him stop him from preaching Jesus Christ one bit. Twice in these verses, we see that Paul is boldly speaking in the name of Jesus. And that's just something that I kind of just sit there and marvel at that thing just because of Paul just goes on this journey and people are threatening to kill him, but he's just like, you know, serving the Lord. That's what he wants to do. His heart is completely committed to what God wants him to do. And so for me, I just have to ask myself this, is when was the last time I spoke boldly in the name of Jesus? Does his sacrifice even mean anything to me? And will I allow his sacrifice to change my life? And will I allow the Lord to start doing in my life what he needs to do by stopping and considering the things that he wants me to? In Acts chapter 13, verses 7 through 9, Paul wins his first person to Jesus Christ. So we see this progression in Paul's life where he was once persecuting the apostles of the Lord. He stopped by the Lord. He reevaluates some things in his life and begins to go God's way. And now the testimony and the life that he starts to live has become infectious. And what I mean by that is there's a man named Sergius Paulus here in Acts chapter 13 that calls out for Paul to hear the word of God directly. And I think that's another great point because clearly he could see that God was working in Paul's life to call for his name firsthand. So, I mean, that's a great thing. And that's one of the things I was thinking about too is like, is my Christianity contagious? Do people even know that I'm a Christian by the way I live my life? There are a lot of people out in this world that are like Sergius Paulus that want to hear the word of God. But does the way that I live my life give people a reason to ask what's different about me? I remember right after I got saved, the Lord put it on my heart to move to Kansas City. I'm not from here originally. It took me some time to figure it all out, but I started tuning in into church and Bible study more regularly. I started praying more consistently, started reading my Bible more frequently. The Lord was changing my life. He was changing the way I thought. He was changing the way that I talked and walked. Not because I'm something special, but because I stopped to listen to what he had to say. And then I started to try to do the best I could with the information that God gave me. I started going through discipleship, learning the basics of the Word of God, how to apply biblical principles that really would change my life. And this is something that I still think about and pray about today. And I'm not saying all this to make me sound super spiritual, believe me. I'm saying that the Lord had to get a hold of me and stop me from the direction I was going so that I could see my need for Christ. Then I could start to build the right character qualities and principles into my life to be successful. And I say that to say this, once the Lord stops you and gets a hold of you, he'll start to change your life, if you'll allow him to. And one of the most profound biblical principles I've ever learned is simply, if you're willing, God is able. I think about that a lot. If you're willing to start and learn what God wants for you and what he has for you in your life, he'll give you everything you need to be successful. My life is a testament to that, as are many of you sitting in this room tonight. So just something to think about is, am I willing to trust God to help me start to build the right things in my life? Am I willing to allow him into my busy schedule so he can show me what he wants me to do? And really the thing is, that's my decision. So why not start tonight? So the third thing I want to talk to you about tonight and the evaluation process is just understanding the things I need to continue doing to be consistent in growing spiritually, to be the person God wants me to be, as well as the legacy I want my family to continue in when I'm no longer here. So just to recap briefly, tonight we've seen that if we stop and allow the Lord to show us what we need to do, we can start to implement those things into our lives and begin to see what God wants us to do for him. Then by doing those things, we will have a better understanding of what we need to continue to do to be the person God wants us to be. So just to go back to Paul briefly, is that looking at Paul and how he continued to grow and then and the legacy that he left behind for others to continue. In Paul's life, we saw how he began persecuting God's people, and through all the things that Paul went through in his life, it led him to his encounter with the Lord. That forever changed his life. Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles and is given the revelation of the church and everything that's going to take place until the Lord comes back. And due to Paul's faithfulness and his willingness for God to use him, God uses Paul to start Bible-believing churches that teach the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important because if it wasn't for that, then none of us would have the ability to be saved. And I think, this is something I think about too, you know, any man can be born, any man can die, any man can be buried, but only my Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. That's the power of my God. All of the books in your King James Bible, from Romans to 2 Thessalonians, are epistles or letters written to various churches on Paul's missionary journeys as he's going around to tell people about the Lord. He has such a burden for the Lord and a desire to reach and teach others about Jesus Christ and how to minister to others. And that's something that I hope and pray that I'll adopt in my life as I continue to serve him. And I think what's amazing is Paul never gives up no matter how hard times were by the opposition that he faced. And I mean, as we were looking at, people were conspiring to kill him. And he continued to do what God wanted him to do. But another thing that has continued long after Paul has long since gone home to be with the Lord is the legacy that he left behind because of the stance that he took for the Lord. And starting those early Bible-believing churches. He knew that he was not going to be around forever. So he had young guys underneath him that were learning how to pastor, like Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, just to name a few. And that's important because those were the guys that were going to continue to carry the torch and pass God's light from one person to another person. That's just the way God does things. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, this is Paul talking here, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." This is something I'm hopeful I'll be able to say with confidence when it's time for me to depart this life, knowing that I've got a hold of what God wanted me to do and spent the rest of my life doing it. I want the Lord to know that I've continued to do the work after the work he did for me on the cross, and that by saving me, I started to do what he wanted me to, and I just tried to do everything I could to bring him honor and glory. So just something I was thinking about is the Lord going to be able to look at me at the judgment seat of Christ and say, well done to me because of the work I continue to do for him in my life? Plain and simple, we're either going to continue in the way that God wants us to go or we're going to continue in sin. And the other thing is, what is the legacy I'm going to leave behind for my family to continue in. As I began to think about legacy, I started to think about my dad's life and the legacy he left behind. And Bob mentioned this real quick. And my dad passed away in September of 2021. He loved this church. He loved many of you. He was faithful in his lifeline, which is our prayer group ministry we have at church. He'd often call me and ask questions, and we'd have talks about the Bible, but which was a tremendous blessing. He would always be telling me how he was praying for my family and I. He was continuing to try to do all he could and with where he was at in his relationship with the Lord. And shortly after that, he was on a Zoom call in Lifeline. That was the last thing he did before he went home to be with the Lord. And I think for me, that's like, what a way to go. The last thing that he did was just sitting there with his brothers in Christ, talking about the Lord. And through that, as Bob mentioned, three of my family members got saved in the process. And so now it's crazy. My dad's dead, but he's still teaching me things, you know? You know, so it's amazing. I was listening to a message not too long ago, and one of the pastors said, the worker's going to pass, but the work's going to continue. I think that's so true. And my prayer is that the life that I live as a Christian will help my family continue the work if Jesus doesn't come during my lifetime, just like Paul ensured that the work would continue with Timothy and my dad did with my family. So to close tonight we have looked at three aspects of evaluating where we're all at in our walk with the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're saved and the Lord wants you to stop and reconsider some things. Will you allow him the ability to do that? Then would you go a little further and start to make whatever changes the Lord wants you to make to grow a better relationship with him, to become a better leader, to become a better spouse, a better friend? And then finally, after all of that, the hardest part is what's my consistency going to be like? Will I be willing to continue to grow, to build a greater depth in spending time in God's word? Will you continue to push yourself to be the person God wants you to be? And ultimately, will the legacy that I leave behind as a Christian be something that will change my family and the people around me? And the last thing I'll say is just that all these choices are ours. What are we waiting for? That's it.